And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. This is your host, Mark Gillar. We've got a very special guest with us today, Pastor Manning, who is on record, and by that I mean on video, is predicting that Barack Obama's people were cooking up a birth certificate the day before they released it. Pastor Manning from the Outlaw World Ministries. Pastor Manning, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be on today.
Now, I have seen the YouTube video, which was actually done a day or so before Barack Obama released his long-form birth certificate, or at least what he said was his long-form birth certificate, and you predicted then that there was going to be some cooking of the birth certificate. It came out. What's your response to it?
Well, I mean, it was pretty obvious that he was going to have to produce something after a two-year just not doing anything at all. And shortly after we made that statement, bingo, he produced this fake birth certificate. But I got to tell you that, I mean, I was amazed that it was such shoddy work. Unfortunately, I used to be out in the streets where people did crimes and they had a thing called hanging paper, writing bad checks and making phony IDs. He should have asked me for some of my people because we could have got a better joint put together than the thing he put together.
Well, it wouldn't take much. I'm on record as saying it looks like a kindergartner cut and pasted it together with school paste. It's really a bad job. You know, there's so many things wrong with it. You don't have to be a computer expert to see it. I mean, you can just put it on your computer and enlarge it a little bit, and you can see all the problems with it. I mean, it's obvious where they dropped things in here and there, where they covered things up, added stuff that wasn't there before. I mean, it really is an embarrassing forgery. The only thing I can figure, Pastor Manning, is that, you know, you can't call down to the White House print shop and say one fake birth certificate, please. You can't call up Kinko's and say one fake birth certificate. So he obviously had to get somebody close to him who could be trusted, who may not have had any experience forging a document. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Quite frankly, I had not thought about it in that way, but you're right, he could not. You're right, your statement's all accurate and in order. My question, however, I'd like to ask you is why is it, I mean, it's very obvious that this was done in the most amateurish, if you will, way possible. Why isn't it the American press has not followed up with just one follow-up question about the authenticity of the birth certificate? Why has the press allowed this to go unchallenged? What's wrong with America that everybody knows that is a forgery and a fraud coming from our highest and most esteemed office, but yet not one follow-up question was asked on the day it was presented? Why are we doing this?
Well, I can tell you this, Pastor Manning. I've been involved with Sheriff Arpaio's people for about a year now, and little bits and pieces of things come to me. When I say involved, I want to clarify that. I was actually brought in to produce and narrate those evidence videos that he showed at his March 1st and July 17th press conferences last year. So I know the level of the evidence. And what I can tell you is that it's worse than just they won't cover it. In some cases, they've told outright lies to cover it up. And what's really sad about all this, Pastor Manning, is that it's not just MSNBC or CNN or some of the usual suspects that we would probably not even fault for protecting Barack Obama because it's what they do. But even Fox News has gotten involved. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. Bill O'Reilly said that the reason Barack Obama had a Connecticut-based Social Security number was because Barack Obama Sr. was living in Connecticut for a while. That is an absolute lie. Now, I'll tell you a story that I personally broke. There's a reporter on Fox News Online. Her name is Jana Winter, and she did this report, and the headline was, "Computer expert says birth certificate is legit." Well, the gentleman's name was Jean-Claude Tremblay. They had to go all the way to Canada, supposedly, to find someone who would say it was legit. And I was on Twitter one night, and I saw some tweet go by in French, and it was Jean-Claude Tremblay. So I tweeted him then, and I said, you aren't by chance the man who said the birth certificate was legit. And he said, well, I'm the man who was quoted as such, but I never said that. He said, I never said that. He said, I've been trying to get Jana Winter at Fox News to retract that, and she will not return my tweets. She will not return my communication. So I tried tweeting Jana Winter a few times. In fact, I tried 24 hours ago, and she would not return my tweets. So then I got on the phone and I called. I got through to her voicemail and I said, the gentleman that you're quoting says he never said that. Would you please contact him and do a retraction or contact me and we can talk about this? She didn't get back with me. Now, here's the real interesting thing, and I'm not going to burn this person by saying their name, but there was someone within Fox News, Pastor Manning, who actually went to Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo and said, I am very sorry. I have tried to get Fox News to tell the truth on this. I have looked at your evidence that you presented at your press conferences. I know you have the goods on Barack Obama. I know that he has multiple cases of document fraud that can be proven in a court of law. I wanted Fox to run a story on that, and they said absolutely no way. So I'm here to apologize to you because my network will not tell the truth. So you're telling
me, and I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was ready to go to
you. Fascinating, and listen to what you have to say. But you're saying to me, which is what I know, but I just want to repeat this so that others might know as well, that Fox News knows that Obama is a fraud, that the birth certificate is a fraud. There's been a massive cover-up. But worse than that, they've also stepped in the mud by now lying to protect him, which is something that, as you stated earlier, MSNBC, we expect, or CNN, to do. But they're now doing that. Why is it then would they run a candidate like Romney against him or any of that were lined up in the initial primary and no one ever mentioned the birth certificate in any meaningful way and did not make that a campaign issue? There's some very troubling things happening in our nation at present, not to mention the fact that his forged Social Security number, forged birth certificate, but he's also a disbarred lawyer as well, as you know. I'm sure you do.
Well, I didn't know he was disbarred. I knew he gave up his license to practice law, as did Michelle Obama.
Yeah, that's disbarred.
You're saying they tell you can give it up or we'll disbar you.
Yeah, that's right. You get the idea.
That's like whenever people say I resigned from my job.
Why do people still watch Fox News? I've warned when Bill O'Reilly stated, going back a couple of years now, that he had seen the birth certificate. That was even before Obama presented this rag back in April of 2011. And everybody knew that Bill O'Reilly was now covering for Obama, yet Fox News trying to give this image that they're fair and balanced and that they have conservative values. While at the same time, they're now covering for him. Because when he said that, he was like the major mouthpiece that backed everybody away, or at least some people away from the birth certificate idea, pursuit rather. I'm just trying to move at the fact that we got some very troubling things happening. Mm-hmm. There's no need to trust Fox News on anything that they say anymore. I'm hearing this for the first time about this French expert, PDF file expert, and the online reporter from Fox News as well. I'm going to follow up on that and do some reporting myself on it now that I've heard it from you.
Well, I tell you what, I will gladly pass that information on to you, complete with the Twitter clips of me going back and forth with Jean-Claude Tremblay. And I got to tell you, the only insight I have, Pastor Manning, into this whole Fox thing and into the question that you started this program with about why nobody is doing anything is that there is a gentleman who was the terrorism expert at Fox News for 6 years. His name was retired Major General Paul Valley Lee. And General Valley Lee was brought in right after 9/11, and he was brought in because of his expertise on terrorism. But he's got a lot of connections at Fox News because of his, you know, 6 years there, and he also has a lot of connections up on the Hill. Now, here are the two things he told me when he was on the show. He said that all the congressmen know that Barack Obama's documentation is fake, and I think that's a reference to the birth certificate and the Social Security card, and I might add the Selective Service card is even more fake than the birth certificate, if you've had a chance to look at that. Now, he said that Fox News at one point was told by Barack Obama's people, if you do not drop this birth certificate thing, if you do not stop calling Barack Obama Barry Satoru, we will come at you with everything we have, the IRS, the Federal Trade Commission. We might just decide you've got a monopoly in cable news. We will come at you with the FCC. We will come at you with everything we have. We'll use the FCC to yank your broadcast license, and we'll worry about the consequences later. So that's what Major Vallely said about Fox. Now, about Congress, he said that individual congressmen have said that they were told, if you try going after Barack Obama for these multiple counts of document fraud, we are going to see race riots from New York to California. If you think what happened with Rodney King was big, wait till you see what black folks do when Barack Obama is being charged with something. So let me ask you, as a leader in the African-American community, Pastor Manning, I found that to be an insult to African-Americans everywhere, to assume that they would riot because of this. So you tell me, is there any chance African-Americans would riot over something like this?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And when Obama came to New York for a fundraiser here in Harlem, $35,400 per plate, at a restaurant called the Red Rooster, I led a march against him. I was out there with about 100 people who all had signs calling him the long-legged Mac Daddy, which of course he is. Where's the birth certificate? And these were colorfully done. We were out there amid about 2,000 or 3,000 black people on 125th Street and Lenox Avenue. You can't get more Harlem. You can't get more black in a place on the planet. And there were no riots, no one attacked us, no one, I mean, a couple of people said some ugly things, but there were no disturbances whatsoever. What we did find were a number of black men said, Obama ain't never done nothing for us anyway. What is he doing coming to Harlem? I ain't think we're going to pay for all of this. So, no, there would not have been a riot. So that was just a smokescreen, and I think it's an insult to black people to say their only response to vetting Obama is that we would riot. I mean, that's an insult to any integral thinking person.
I agree.
The other item, going back to Fox News, and okay, all right, that you could yank their license, but the FCC does not have major control, and I'm not disputing Major General Paul Vallely, but the FCC does not control cable the way it controls the airways. There's a difference, there's a demarcation there about cable network, which is a private entity as opposed to the public entity of the network for the federal communication, which controls. But I'll give them that. Were they to simply pull the plug on Fox News for pursuing the birth certificate issue, it appears to me that more people would then be curious, is this a matter of trying to suppress the truth by shutting down Fox News as bringing the truth? It appears to me that it would be anti-profitable for them to fight that way. I find it difficult to believe that an organization that is and that's ran by Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes would be intimidated by such and would fold simply and then start not only fold but start lying. Did it happen? Could it possibly have happened? I'm not saying that it didn't. Those are just some questions that some observations that I have, such as your observation, is 100% accurate. It's an insult to say that black people's only response to an inquiry about Obama is to get out in the streets and start burning down communities. You know, so I'm just reviewing what you're saying.
I appreciate that. And speaking of Barack Obama and the black community, I think we all recall that speech he gave in Selma, Alabama, which I like to refer to as Barack Obama's attempt to lay some claim on the civil rights heritage and to people like Martin Luther King. He's in the church in Selma, Alabama, and he says, you know, I'm here because my parents got together because some people walked across a bridge in Selma, Alabama. And then he actually marched away from the church surrounded by members of the New Black Panther Party. Now, when I look at Barack Obama as far as civil rights heritage and involvement and so forth, I see a man with no credibility whatsoever. I mean, you know, his father was from Kenya. His mother was a white woman from Kansas. He lived part of his childhood in Jakarta. Then he comes back and he goes to one of the most expensive private schools in the United States. Then he starts going through a series of very expensive private colleges. What claim does this man have on the civil rights heritage of this country? What claim does this man have to Selma, Alabama, or Martin Luther King?
Well, to review what you just stated regarding the Selma March, I'm putting up a video today, and I've got that clip where he stated that his mother and father met there at the Edmund Pettus Bridge during that famous march from Montgomery to Selma, which happened in 1965. But he was born in 1961. Effectively, he's time-traveled in order to have had that take place.
Yeah.
But he was trying to lay some claim to the civil rights movement. But that is an outright lie. I mean, how do you give credibility to anybody who has been caught in such a horrendous lie that his mother and father met and 4 years after he was born? But the other item is that he has no credibility. You have to remember that in the early days of Obama's campaign, from 2007 to 2008, mid-2008, Julian Bond, who was then the director of the NAACP, they were refusing Obama, mainly because they were in love with Hillary and Bill Clinton. But one of their statements were that Obama is not black enough. He has no connection to the black community whatsoever, and it would be foolish to put him up as a black candidate in light of what the black movement, the civil rights movement has been about. If you go all the way back to Nat Turner, to Frederick Douglass, to Harriet Tubman, and when you conceive of that movement, to bring a person in who spent the first 9 years of his life in Jakarta, Indonesia, and the other 9 years, the second 9 years of his life in Hawaii on a surfboard smoking crack or pot, how can you present this as a person credible to the black experience? Well, I understand that the NAACP got a large chunk of money from, God, what's that fellow's name, George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Obama became one of the boys as a result of that money. But even now, I continue to raise the question to some degree, and people call me a racist for doing so. But, I mean, if you're going to have a black president, why not have someone who understands the black experience? And I would think that most people reasonably thinking would consider, you know, maybe the son of Barbara Jordan or Dr. King, or some other black who's gone through some experiences and has raised a son in a credible way, and he's come up out of the experience of being in the black neighborhood, and now. But to bring, I mean, it is such an insult to reason to call Obama the first black president. Anybody who does it insults the heritage of people who, I think, struggle for what the black struggle has been about.
I think it's interesting that you said people are calling you a racist. I know Juan Williams over at Fox News was kind of shocked whenever he was called a racist. What is this phenomenon that we're experiencing, Pastor Manning, where anybody who criticizes Barack Obama for anything is labeled a racist, even if you too are African American?
I think that first of all, I'm called that amid Uncle Tom. I've been called some pretty ugly names. I've been called a hater. I've been labeled as one who hates his own people. I hate myself. I hate my hair. I hate my skin color. But I understand that it's not true, and I don't let it faze me. But this word racist has been elevated above Nazi. It's people are definitely afraid of being called that. And in the Obama era, it has been used as a neutron bomb to back off anyone who raises a simple question about Obama in any way other than some general policies that politicians get into and argue or debate. I've never seen a word go from such a, I suppose, mediocre, if you will, understanding to have such high visibility and such power. Racist, you're a racist, and Obama has done that. I'm not sure that he's the one who has done it, but people have used that to defend him, and as a result of it, people are afraid to come out and say anything because they don't want that label. A friend of mine told me down in Louisiana, he's white, he's Louisiana, he's Southern, he's been there all his life, and he said to me, you know, I was his house guest. He said, if I come out against Obama and people print just one word in a local newspaper, label me as a racist, my business is gone. Everything my father worked for, my grandfather worked for, we would have to close shop here in Louisiana if the newspaper or some reporter simply said I was a racist because I didn't vote for Obama. And I thought that was quite chilling.
It might be chilling, but it's probably very, very accurate. People fear that term. Now, on the other hand, I can tell you that I personally, I've gotten to the point where I've been called that so many times since the long-form birth certificate came out. And by the way, I was not really too interested in this subject. When people asked me about it before the birth certificate came out, I would say, oh, come on, there were two announcements in the Hawaii papers, whatever, whatever. I don't really believe in this. And then what changed my mind was whenever that, as my friend Lord Monckton likes to call it, Mickey Mouse birth certificate was posted on whitehouse.gov, I started taking a look at it, and experts were coming out of the woodwork to point out all the reasons it was fake. And when I started talking about that, suddenly Mark Gillar became a racist. And I think that one thing that Obama's people risk as they continue to, you know, lob these racist bombs is that if you do it enough, it's kind of like a lifeguard that blows his whistle every 2 seconds at a swimming pool. After a while, it becomes commonplace and people aren't as impacted by it. But as for right now, you are correct. That is the one word that nobody wants to be labeled. Everyone is terrified of that. And the word just behind that in the English vocabulary, in terms of recent additions to the English vocabulary, is birther. People are terrified to be called a birther. Now, when you look at this thing, he's got a problem with his birth certificate. He's got a problem with his Social Security card. He's got a problem with his Selective Service registration. He's had problems with his passport. You know, he hides his school records. There's so many things about this man. He's still a mystery man, even though he's already served one term in office. And a lot of the things about him don't even have to do with the birth certificate, but it's such an effective term. It's shutting somebody up. They now apply it to things that don't even have anything to do with it. You know, it's like, well, his Selective Service card has problems. Well, you're a birther. Well, you know, you have, in my case, you happen to be right, but saying that the man was a young Marxist punk who might not have been inclined to register for Selective Service doesn't make someone a birther. So, obviously, race is still the number one weapon in the Obama propaganda arsenal. But closely behind that is birther. So let me ask you, as a fellow birther, what do you plan to do next? I'm getting emails saying you're heading to Hawaii, possibly with attorneys. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, I plan to travel to Hawaii at some point this year, and I plan to file motions in the courts in Hawaii charging the Kalapulani Hospital with misinforming the American people, and I plan to charge the State Department in Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, with covering up and being complicit in an obvious fraud, a criminal activity, both for the hospital and also for they know they have information that they and that they're hiding information that it, or they're condoning information that has been publicly a part of a fraud. I plan to do that, and a couple other things. I plan to name Fox News in the case, Bill O'Reilly as well. And I'm working on the appropriate way with Hawaiian officials to, well, Hawaii law rather, not officials, how to make that charge a court action and try to get somebody from the State Department to appear in court in there in Hawaii. I plan to do that sometime this year. I haven't settled on a date as of yet, but
okay.
Yes, I do plan to do that.
Well, now, when it comes to things like criminal charges, you've got to find a prosecutor to go along with you. Given the fact that Hawaii is so liberal and so in the tank for Barack Obama, how do you imagine that happening?
Well, my strategy is to file a civil complaint and then find a way to make the people that we're going to level the complaint against criminally liable, in as much as that the civil complaint rather would introduce the criminal complaint. Normally, it's the criminal complaint. If that fails, then you can sue people in a civil court.
Mm-hmm.
I plan to do the reverse of that. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not sure how far this is going to go. I don't necessarily see it being the most successful, given the state of Hawaii, their liberal-thinking prosecutors, judges, police officers. I may end up in jail myself before the whole thing is over with, but I do plan to make it a part of the Hawaiian record of events because at some point I'm convinced this entire fraud is going to blow wide open, and that's going to be my linchpin, that when it does blow wide open, the state of Hawaii would have had the opportunity to respond. If they deny the opportunity for the court proceedings to go forward, they would have further demonstrated that they knew and had an opportunity to come clean and did not. But I'm convinced that this matter cannot remain uncovered. It's just too in your face. If it was just a birth certificate, then it might quietly go away in 20 years. But it's the Social Security number. It's his school records. It's a host of things that's beyond the Bertha statement that the American people are going to finally wake up. And then the other thing I think is clear is that Obama's beginning to agitate even some liberals, especially with the new drone policies that he has
over
the past couple of years. But can I say this? I know we had a half an hour, but I want to get
go ahead. Take your time. We've got extra time.
We're looking at a significant problem in America that people are refusing to take a close look at and do something about. This whole matter of racism is born out of a sense that a reality and a truth that black people as a total community have failed in this nation, and they have failed to make the kind of grade that one would reasonably expect anyone coming out of any set of circumstances, whether it be slavery or imprisonment or war criminals or war crimes or what happened with the Japanese in the World War II, that black people have failed to make a reasonable transition to the goodness and the openness and the great fruit and bounty that is so American. Black people have continued to live in the shadows and live beyond the potential that they should be living in and beyond the potential of America. And because of that, there is this unspoken sympathy and empathy that black people need to have affirmative action in every situation, even with their president. He's got to be less than qualified, but we'll give him a passing grade anyway. We don't expect him to measure up to the measurement that is required in terms of honor and integrity, what our Constitution calls for. And that's the issue that's deeper that we need to begin to address. And once we begin to address that, then we can see why Obama's getting away with this, why people are allowing this, why people... Racism is a, don't bother him. He's black, and black people are substandard, or one thing after the other, and so therefore let him go, leave him alone. You could do that if he was white. And then beyond that, there is this whole notion that I've noticed speaking to a large number of people that you can call people black, you can say black this, or you can say African-American and get people's attention and get people's commitment. But if you're white, you can't say I'm white, I want to have a white group of white. If you say that, again, you're a racist. I mean, you can't even, if you're white, you can't even identify yourself. You got to stay in the shadows and let black or Latinos or whoever. And until America begins to look at this, we're facing some very difficult problems. The Republicans are now trying to figure out, well, if we're going to win elections, we got to become Latino. We got to become more black friendly, which is absolutely foolish, if you ask me. I hope I'm not going on too long on this.
No, I'll let you know. Take your time. Say whatever you want to. The platform's yours.
But this is a very serious issue, and this is the dark curtain under which Obama now hides. And as long as he is alleged to be black, which I argue, I mean, because his mother was white, that, and this substandard, if you will, this failure of the black community as a totality to rise under normal and reasonable circumstances to become contributing American citizens rather than the killings, the shootings, the welfare, the government-supported, the creation of ghettos everywhere they live. This is the issue that needs to be addressed. This is the issue that's destroying the people. And by shielding them, by saying, well, don't expect black people to measure up as you would expect anybody else, is destroying. And the Democrats know that. They know that, but they take advantage of it. They get votes by doling out welfare rolls. They get votes by doling out food stamp rolls. They get votes by doling out housing grants, Section 8, which continues to destroy a people rather than forcing them to rise by the sweat of their brow. So this matter is of a grave concern of mine in terms of the fact that it's not being addressed, and it is the issue that has allowed Obama to create all these crimes and to corrupt the courts, to corrupt the Congress, to corrupt the media, because black people themselves are performing at a level that just does not make any sense in the modern world.
Well, you're speaking to something that I've brought up before, and I'll tell you how it ties in. I personally think that all of this is by design. Now, if you go back to Lyndon Baines Johnson and his Great Society program, his welfare programs, his civil rights efforts, he was on an airplane when two governors who were Democrats approached him and were like, LBJ, what are you doing? What is all this about the black community? And these were Southern governors. And he said, I'm going to have black people voting Democrat for the next 200 years. Now, he didn't say black people. He said he used the N-word. And the reason he did that is because he wanted the vote. Now, there was never anything in all these programs that you've mentioned about, well, black people were held back through slavery and then through not having a full set of civil rights. We've got to do something to give black people a ladder that they can climb to make up for the past discrimination. No, there was never anything about that. It was never about helping black people become productive members of the society. It was about controlling the vote, and LBJ predicted for 200 years. So we've replaced the actual physical chains with chains of financial dependency.
Yeah.
And let me just say that what the sad thing is for me, Pastor Manning, is that we're over 50 years in to that 200-year prediction that LBJ made. And so far, he's still right.
No, you're absolutely right about that. There's no doubt about it. And it's increasing the allure of it. It certainly has the potential to take us another 150 years because black people are in love with the Great Society programs and all of the handouts from the government and more government-dependent. So the prophecy is a powerful prophecy. However, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to break it up and to end it as soon as I possibly can. And I pray for people such as yourself who understand this process. And I encourage others also that it's the humanitarian thing to do, and it's the political thing to do as well, to break this up. And there may have to be some sacrifices. For instance, you've been called a birther. You've possibly been called a racist. And you have been able to let that water roll off of your back. But others are going to have to step forward as well and take some of this heat so that this insidious approach to American life and politics can be broken, and we can all, I suppose, begin to be better people.
On that note, I'm going to ask you to tell my listeners about some of the good works that you're doing there in the Harlem area and how they can get involved, how they can contribute, how they can volunteer if they want to help your efforts, which I hope they will.
Well, you know, we have a church right here on 123rd Street and Lenox Avenue. We are three blocks away from the famed Apollo Theater, two blocks away from the most famous black community street, which is 125th Street. It's called Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. And I've been here for 30 years. I live in the community. I don't have a church in Harlem and then run to the suburbs to live at night. I live on the same block where the church is at, and I've done so for the past 30 years. You know, I preach the truth. I've been trying to wake the world up, but particularly black people here in Harlem, about the many problems related to the leaders such as Al Sharpton, these race baiters, these camps of the black community, but my number one sermon is the removal of the hatred that black people have for white folk. It's just off the charts. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. And I think people, I keep telling you, just because some black leader has graduated Harvard with a law degree or even a medical degree, or Yale or Princeton or any other school, and talks with what I refer to as a pinched nose, he has this immense hatred, and he fuels it as well. And it's killing. It's destroying the community. So if you can pray for me for that, I'd very much appreciate it. We have a website called atlah.org, A-T-L-A-H.org, and most of the things that we do can be discovered there. We have a broadcast that I do on a daily basis as well. And we have a school. We've been educating children in this community for the past, I think, 18 years. Going back about 20 years ago, it was reported that a young girl, 9 years old, had been living with her crack-addicted mama and her boyfriend in an apartment just a couple of doors from our church. And the girl had not been out on the street for 2 years. She'd known nothing about Christmas. It was just she was held captive by her crack-addicted mother. So we started knocking on doors, and we started a school. So we do that, and we do other kinds of things. But I think if people would just pray and try to understand what I'm speaking, if they happen to see me on YouTube or hear me, try to understand what I'm saying and the ultimate purpose of what I'm saying. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love America. And if they can give me that much, I think they'll be giving me as much as I need.
Excellent. I will post a link to atlah.com with the broadcast that we've recorded here today. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. It takes a tremendous amount of courage. I think I'll have to paraphrase this, but there was a line from Harry Potter where they talked about standing up to your enemies is one thing, but standing up to your friends is yet another, and you are preaching some incredible truth to the black community. I know a lot of times it's not well received, and again, the courage it takes to do that is just tremendous. So I wish you continued success with your ministries. I wish you continued success with your efforts that are pending in Hawaii. And I will encourage all my listeners to go to atlah.com and check it out so that they can see how they can become
involved. Atlah.org.
I'm sorry. Thank you. We will get that posted correctly, I promise you. And just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, and we will be praying for you, and we ask you to pray for us as well.
I certainly will. And the same regards for your work and what you're doing. I think it takes, if not more courage than I am displaying for you to do what you're doing. If there were 10,000 men doing what you're doing, we wouldn't be talking about it anymore because the matter would be resolved. So thank you as well.
You are more than welcome, Pastor Manning. God bless you.
God bless you also, sir.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.